Today on the Red State Movie Mafia, we discuss why The Avengers is breaking records, we review Tim Burton's Dark Shadows, and we talk about our favorite movie villains, plus the latest DVDs and our single shot pick of the week.
You're listening to the Red State Movie Mafia with Lauren Veneziani, John Hanlon, and Rebecca Cusey.
Welcome to the Red State Movie Mafia. We are coming to you from your nation's capital, and I'm Rebecca Cusey. I write the Tinsel blog on Pathios. And Lauren, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Lauren Veneziani. I write for Andrew Breitbart's Big Hollywood, as well as my own entertainment and film site, DCFilmGirl.com.
I'm John Hanlon. I write for Big Hollywood Screen Rant, and I have my own site at JohnHanlonReviews.com.
And this week, the big news, of course, is that there have been records broken. Mm-hmm. It's been a very exciting week. I think everybody in the country, if not in the world, has gone to see The Avengers. John, tell us how it did.
It did marvelously. It was the biggest weekend opening of all time with $207.4 million.
Of all time!
Yes. Okay. People were expecting it to be big, but I don't know if they were expecting it to be this big. It joins the list of the top five biggest openings. Number two was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Number three was The Dark Knight. Number four was The Hunger Games. And number five was Spider-Man 3. And other than The Hunger Games, this is the first one that's a non-sequel.
Right.
And it's kind of a sequel to the other Marvel movies, but this is a story on its own. It's not a sequel to anything. It just builds on the other characters. And so it's just a big weekend.
Yeah, although, I mean, it's part of a franchise, so, right. And that's been building forever, so I don't know if you can quite give it the non-sequel treatment, but I don't know how to really define that.
Yeah, like, it's definitely was, if not the most anticipated movie of the year, just because of all of the Marvel geeks that were looking forward to it, and then all of the non-Marvel geeks who didn't even know who the characters were went to go see it. So you have both groups going to see this one movie, and Joss Whedon's awesome, and a lot of fans of his went to go see it, too.
Right. And we reviewed it last week, and we all loved it. We thought he did a really good job. Now, if I have one quibble with the movie, I don't think that Loki is, like, the best villain ever. I mean, he's mean and evil, and he wants to take over the world and everything. I mean, he's kind of Dr. Doofenshmirtz, but he is he is not the worst ever. So what I was wondering, what do you guys think is the best villain that you've seen on screen?
I mean, well, with Loki, like, I think that the best villains are the ones that are a little bit more polarizing, like, because I questioned throughout the Avengers, like, whether or not Loki was going to fold and give in to his brother and all of that, and then, like, you know, obviously, he was still the villain in the end.
Right.
But still, I mean, I also think that, I mean, when it goes to crazy villains, I don't really care for the movie, but in Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange, that Alex guy, he is messed up. And then all of a sudden he goes through this weird treatment to make him, you know, kind of forget his past life and then go into something new. So that makes him polarizing a little bit, but he was still a really bad villain. Another bad villain who basically haunted my childhood was Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty, where she turns into a dragon.
Yeah.
She's scary, and she really, I feel like, scared a lot of kids at a young age, and she's not very polarizing at all. She was always evil, but she's definitely one of the top villains in Disney history, for
iconic.
Sure.
Iconic.
Yeah, and Maleficent is, of course, the evil queen from Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
Very iconic.
What about you, John?
Well, Heath Ledger stood out to me as the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Right, right.
But then another one that stood out is Hannibal Lecter, who kind of set the bar for villains in The Silence of the Lambs. He was just a very smart, intellectual psychopath.
Right.
And so Anthony Hopkins really stood out in that role.
So you liked it because he had all these positive qualities, but he was just evil to the core?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the main characters, and I don't know if you would characterize him as the villain, because in the movie Jodie Foster's hunting Buffalo Bill.
Right.
But you know that Hannibal Lecter is a monster, and if released, he would go crazy.
Right.
And another reason I feel like people like him is because of, like, he's a very different villain because, like, Jodie Foster and him actually did develop a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, you know, a romantic relationship, it wasn't a friendship, but it was some sort of weird relationship where they got to know each other, even on, like, a little bit, you know, personal levels, and that's where the actual title of the movie comes into play, when she talks about the lambs and everything.
Right.
So it makes his character very interesting.
So my villain, I saw this movie after I'd seen Beauty and the Beast, and the teapot was so charming. And I saw, you know, I grew up watching reruns of Murder, She Wrote with Jessica Lansbury. I mean, Angela Lansbury playing Jessica Fletcher. Mm-hmm. And so she's so grandma-ish. But if you watch The Manchurian Candidate, she plays this conniving, evil mother who brainwashes her son into doing these horrible things. And so it's just, she's so chilling and so, like, completely given over to what she wants that I just think she's just an amazing villain. So I think she sends shivers down my spine more than anyone else.
Also because Angela Lansbury is like, it doesn't even seem like she would be able to play something like that.
Right.
She seems like so like wholesome, like slash grandma.
Right. Yeah. You don't expect
it. So it makes it very
chilling. She's a lot younger than the Manchurian
Candidate. Right. Well, of course.
So she doesn't seem like a grandma, but she was pretty.
Yeah.
And she seemed like a mother, and that she was like this twisted evil mother. It's great. So, we will be right back with our reviews. Well, there's really only one major release this week, the Dark Shadows movie. And so we will be right back with Red State Movie Mafia to talk about it.
From your nation's capital, we are bright red.
Welcome back. We are going to review the movie that comes out this week. It's kind of a slow week, I think probably because The Avengers is still taking all the oxygen out of the box office. But in a bit of counter-programming, there's this movie called Dark Shadows, and it's about a man from pretty much the revolutionary era, from the 17th century, who becomes a vampire. His name is Barnabas Collins. And then he gets buried in a box for a couple hundred years and comes back as this kind of Edwardian or Georgian character to modern day. Actually, it's 1972, which is kind of fun because it's kind of all hippie and 70s, and I enjoyed that. But so he comes back, and there's this witch that he's fighting, and he's also trying to restore the fortunes of his, what remains of his family in this great big huge mansion. So it's kind of a gothic, it's Tim Burton movie. What did you guys think?
I love Tim Burton so much. He's one of my all-time favorite directors, and I was really looking forward to this movie. Obviously, him and Johnny Depp have been paired in several movies throughout
their
career.
And I should have mentioned Johnny Depp plays the lead.
Exactly, yeah. I loved Johnny Depp in the role. I thought he was perfect at being, like, kind of, like, he was over-dramatic in a good way at, like, you know, certain parts, and I think it was supposed to be like that. But it just wasn't the standout Tim Burton movie I wanted it to be. I mean, Sleepy Hollow and Sweeney Todd and Edward Scissorhands are my favorite of his, and it just, like, the story just wasn't as intriguing, and I think a lot of the characters, they were kind of thrown in there, and I don't even know why they were put in there.
Right.
Like, the Chloe Grace Moretz plays Michelle Pfeiffer's daughter in there, and her character was kind of, like, just thrown in there weirdly, and I don't know. It just, a lot of parts I didn't really like, and I thought it was a bit long.
Of course, it's a remake of a classic BBC series, I think.
So it was a soap opera, which like was not, so like the Tim Burton movie is like a dark comedy, whereas the soap opera was a complete drama. I know because my mom was a huge fan of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I say classic because I have no idea when it was on. that's my shorthand for I don't know when. But
I think in the 60s.
They were probably doing the characters because they were on this series, on this TV show.
Right.
And felt like they had to include
them all.
Go ahead, John. What did you think of it?
I hated this movie.
Just say what you think.
It just seemed like a mess to me. It was very disjointed. It was part horror movie, part comedy, part soap opera. And I don't think any of the elements worked together. Uh-huh. There were characters that appeared and then disappeared. Mm-hmm. And you questioned the point of having them in there at all.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I didn't hate it because I liked the Tim Burton gothic-y feel. And a lot of it did like remind me of Sleepy Hollow, which is one of my favorite movies. But I agree with you in that, like, there were almost too many characters and too much was, like, going on. I do think Ava Green, who played the witch, though, who cursed him back in the 17th century and who's still living in 1972, I thought that she did a very good job.
Right.
But I really do think without her and Johnny Depp, the movie would have been pretty bad.
Yeah, I thought Johnny Depp was pretty good as the deadpan leader of the film, but other than that, I didn't like anything about it.
The parts that worked best for me were when they contrasted Johnny Depp's, like, ancient kind of persona with the modern times. Like, he comes in and he says all of these very kind of Edwardian or Georgian or whatever, and, like, you should fly straight to the devil, Harlot,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I thought that his dialogue was good.
Bring me the horses.
Yeah.
Bring me the horses.
Yeah.
Instead of the card. Yeah. He sees a car coming towards him and he thinks it's like a
the
demon
devil
coming towards him. I mean, there's all these great...
He's like, take me, Satan.
And so if the movie had been more that, yeah, that would have been, yeah, really fun. And that, yeah, I really like the scene where he's like hanging with all these hippies who are tripping on something. And he's like, I was in a box thinking about love for 200 years. And they're all like, oh, man.
I know. Heavy. They're like, oh, man. So, yeah, they say that's heavy. They like just eat it all up.
Right. And that was a really fun scene. But once they tried to like get the plot and all the conflict, it got really boring because I was not surprised by anything. I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Right.
Like, way early in the movie.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. So,
And I obviously ended up hurting it a little bit, and I think we weren't the only ones who felt that way.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe Tim Burton fans will like it, but people who were probably just going to the movies this weekend, I mean, I don't know.
Right. So it is Tim Burton. It is that kind of that gothic, creepy thing. Do you guys remember what it's rated?
I think it's PG-13?
I think so.
I think it's PG-13.
It has one dramatic, wild sex scene.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, particularly graphic, but it is violent.
Yes.
Which is kind of amusing. I think that's probably three thumbs down on this movie. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I mean, but it's like, I liked it because of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton. Like, yeah, had it been somebody else, I probably wouldn't have liked it.
Right. All right, we will be right back. We are going to talk about DVDs next.
You're listening to the Red State Movie Mafia, where it's okay to love both your country and a good movie.
Welcome back to the Red State Movie Mafia, and luckily for you, we're on Twitter.
Yay! My favorite social media outlet.
You can find me at Rebecca_Cusey. That's Cusey.
And you can find me, Lauren Veneziani, at DCFilmGirl_.
And you can find me at John Hanlon.
_, sadly. So the DVDs that come out this week are The Vow, with kind of a big sappy romantic movie, and Underworld Awakening. So, John, tell us about The Vow.
Well, The Vow stars Channing Tatum and Rachel McAdams as a newly married couple, and early on they have an accident, and Rachel McAdams loses her memory.
So, I hate it when that happens.
So Channing Tatum spends the rest of the movie trying to make her fall in love with him again because she thinks they're strangers. So it's a romantic drama. I wasn't a big fan of it. It was very melodramatic for me, with a lot of the additional aspects to it, like her parents are trying to keep them separated.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the real-life couple, and none of that stuff happened. Like, the memory loss thing happened. But the parents didn't try to stand in their way like they do in the movie. So it just kind of adds this melodrama to what could have been a good story.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought Channing Tatum was really good, and he had a good character arc. But I actually just watched it for the second time again last night, and I didn't... Quiet, John. We went to go see this movie together. John's just didn't like it at all. But I actually didn't like... I don't know. I liked it better the first time I watched it. The second time I watched it, I was like, yeah, this really could have been a good story if had they left all the melodramatic elements out of it. But they obviously included that to make it that romantic drama movie thing. Yeah.
People love it.
And Channing does bring a lot of people to the box office, I think.
He's becoming a big star.
He's
everything.
Huge. Yeah, especially at the beginning of this year.
Right.
The other one that came out this week was Underworld Awakening, and I actually went to go see this movie the night it came out. It's Kate Beckinsale, has been, you know, she plays Celine, and she's a vampire, or a Death Eater in the Underworld series, that's what they call them. And she's basically been kind of in this frozen prison to keep her contained while people are doing experiments on her. She later realizes, you know, when she escapes, that she does have a daughter, and the daughter's the only hybrid, vampire/werewolf child that's ever existed. And it kind of goes into this whole, you know, dramatic, almost even like a melodrama thing with like her and her daughter, you know, like, you know, coming together and everything like that. Like, it definitely wasn't as good as the first Underworld. If you're a fan of the Underworld franchise, I think you'll like it. I liked it. It wasn't the best one in the series, though.
You totally, I was like, she does what now? She's lost what now?
if you haven't seen Underworld before, don't watch this one first. I would definitely go back to the very first one. And then, of course, there's the sequel. And then the third one, Underworld Rise of the Lycans, is the prequel where Kate Beckinsale isn't even in it. And then Underworld Awakening, she's awakening back up because she's been in this frozen prison where... John's art. It is very
glazing over. You know, I have to say, I'm going to be glad when this whole vampire phase passes. Gosh.
Underworld was out way before Twilight.
I know, and it's its own thing. Even. But yeah, and a little bit with the Dark Shadows movie, I was like,
oh well, that's true.
They're spoofing it, but I'm just sick of the whole vampire.
They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all over the place.
And oh, they're so dreamy, and he's so like focused on love. And all they do is look soulfully and longingly. And it's like, don't you ever eat a burger or, you know, like, go see a movie or do something else because it's too intense. So, yeah, I'll be glad. Move on to mermaids or something else.
Yeah. For all you know, it'd be a vampire eating mermaid. Like, it was... Never mind.
Okay, so those are the DVDs. Not a strong endorsement for either one.
Mm-mm.
And not a strong endorsement, sadly, for Dark Shadows. So we are going to have to put our heads together and think about what should you watch this week. And we will be back in the next segment with our single shot, our recommendation of the one movie you should see this week. This is the Red State Movie Mafia, and this is our single shot. What one movie in theaters or on DVD would we recommend that you see this week? Lauren, go ahead.
All right. Everyone knows I love a good female-led action flick, so I have to go with Steven Soderbergh's Haywire, which is now out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's about this woman played by Gina Carano, who's a real martial arts artist, and she ends up being betrayed by her company she works for, these federal agents, and has to go out on the run and, you know, kick everybody's butt in between. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really well done film. It's really well shot. She does a great debut performance, and I think that it definitely should be watched this weekend if you don't want to go to the box office.
Right. It is a good film. John, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
My pick is Pirates Band of Misfits, which is in theaters now. The animated film revolves around a captain trying to win a Pirate of the Year award. It's just a fun family film, really good counter-programming to The Avengers.
Mm-hmm. And my pick is The Avengers. Of course, it's the Marvel superheroes all coming together to save the Earth. What else? And it's in theaters for the second week. Everybody, you know, it's been huge. Maybe the crowds have died down a little bit, and you can go see it. It's fast-paced. It's exciting. It's really well done. And the action is exciting. And so that's why it's my pick of the week.
Very good choice.
So thank you so much for listening to the Red State Movie Mafia. We will be back with more movies next week.